Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome back to Stretch Street Podcast. This is the energetic EJ, and you already know I'm always, always excited when I'm here on the show, and I'm super excited again to be here today. Today, we're diving right in. We're diving into a topic that affects millions, neuropathy. Now, for those of you who are familiar, neuropathy is nerve damage that can cause pain, numbness, tingling and weakness, often in the hands and feet. It can be caused by various conditions like diabetes, autoimmune diseases, and even vitamin deficiency. Now, many people manage neuropathy with medication, but there is a growing interest in alternative solutions. And to help us dive into that conversation today, I have a special guest with me all the way from the US. And his name is Keith Day. Now, he's known as the Neuropathy Warrior. He's a dedicated thought leader with 2 decades of personal experience battling peripheral neuropathy. In his 10 years as a speaker, Keith has emerged as a beacon of hope, educating and consulting with medical providers and patients alike. Keith sheds light on neuropathy triggers, including chemotherapy and diabetes, advocating for the 93% of chemotherapy patients affected and the 400 million people worldwide grappling with neuropathy. Now, his mission extends beyond awareness to instill hope and faith. And this is one of the things that, you know, got me like, okay, I think I need him on my show as well, right? So he instills hope and faith in neuropathy patients, drawing from his personal struggles that led to job loss, family strain, and loss of independence. He's not just a neuropathy warrior, he is a resilient advocate, urging a paradigm shift in understanding and addressing neuropathy in a personalized, wellness-focused planner. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, mommy and daddy, please welcome with me to the Stretch Street Podcast, Keith Day. Hello, hello, Keith. How are you doing today?
Hello, hello, hello. I'm doing great. And this is such a special treat to be on your show and I'm on your podcast. And I'm so thankful.
Thank you for being here. I really appreciate you. And thank you for doing the work, you know, of advocating for people who are going through the struggles that you've been on in your own life as well. I am going to start by asking the question. Can you share a bit about, you know, your experience with neuropathy and what led you to exploring this journey, first of alternative solution, but also this advocacy?
Sure. I growing up as a younger person, I was very athletic. Sports were very big to me, and I played almost every sport possible. And I also got into health and wellness and weightlifting and stuff. And as I became a young to middle-aged adult, around the age of 45, I started waking up in the mornings and I would get out of bed and it would hurt to move. It would hurt to take a step. And I remember thinking, what the heck? And one day I was laying there in bed and it was time to get up and I thought, it's going to hurt. And I thought maybe all the sports, all the running, all the basketball, all the tennis, all the weightlifting that I had wore down and broken my body down. And I was wrong. That was not the case at all. The truth of the matter is, I was an undiagnosed diabetic. Now, I know that sounds funny because so many people think that diabetes can be diagnosed with a simple blood test, and it can, but not on everyone's case. The truth is, here in the United States, there's 1.6 million undiagnosed diabetics in this country presently. And the problem with that is that diabetes is the number one cause of small fiber polyperipheral neuropathy, known as neuropathy. Now, diabetes is not the only cause, but it's the number one cause. And so what was happening to me simultaneously was I had this diabetes that was undiagnosed, and then I had neuropathy inside my body that was simmering, and there was boiling, and then the two came together and exploded in my life simultaneously, and I was stunned. I was dealing with some of the worst trauma I'd ever dealt with because I went from being a pretty good athlete to being able to not be able to sleep at night, which was very unusual with me. and I couldn't sleep at night. I had burning and freezing pain. I had neuropathy itch where I could scratch the flesh off my bones, but I still itched. I had sharp shooting pains. I had cramping. And then I started to lose my balance and my muscle weakness. And I was just shocked. And it was just going one after the other. And I was just backpedaling and reeling from all this. And finally, when I was diagnosed as being a diabetic, my neuropathy was full blown. And at that point in time, my wife, who has a medical background, I was having her massage my feet and legs literally 3 times a day. And it wasn't helping. I was begging her to just cut off my feet. Wow. I was struggling to go from the bed to the bathroom to my lazy boy chair. And I couldn't fly around the country anymore with my previous job, so I lost that job. And it just became so devastating to know that I was at 46, 47, 48, I was facing a serious lack of quality in my life. I was suffering from functional impairments I never dreamed of, that I took for granted, you know, like walking, dancing with my wife. I got to where I couldn't dance with my wife anymore. And then it dawned on me that this was progressing and it was degenerating, it was getting worse. And I was faced with the possibility that if I couldn't find something to make it better, I was going to lose my independence. And let me tell you, to everyone listening to us within the sounds of our voices, I would ask anyone listening to us, the day they lose their independence, are they going to throw a big party and celebrate? I don't think so. It's scary. It's scary. And so that added to the trauma. And the trauma was just doing this to me and stacking higher and higher and weighing me down to where someone who'd never been depressed his whole life, I was terribly depressed. I was so depressed, I didn't want to move. I didn't want to go to my younger children's sports or my grandchildren's sports. I didn't want to go socialize. I became someone that went from being extroverted on the go to wanting to be sedentary. And I began to realize the more sedentary I was, the more I was raising the white flag of surrender to this disease. Real quick, like I'll share with you, I'm lucky to have medical people in my family, pharmacists and others, and the medical treatment for neuropathy, they did not want me to take. They said, don't you dare take it. Because what they do medically and pharmaceutically for neuropathy is not FDA approved in this state, Food and Drug Administration approved in the United States for neuropathy. It is seizure medication for epilepsy, not neuropathy. Why do doctors prescribe it? Because it stops the brain from talking to the nerve fibers so the patient doesn't know they're struggling. But in the meantime, the disease continues to digress and they're getting sicker and sicker. They just don't realize it. Then the terrible side effects, which we could talk about later if you want. So based on all of this, I had to pull up my bootstraps and I had to aggressively go find somebody that could help me. And it was a battle. It was a journey. I was told I had to learn to live with this. I was told nothing could be done. I was told take a pill and go home. But I refused to do that because none of that is right. None of that is correct. The truth of the matter is this is a simple disease to understand. It is caused by a lack of blood flow to the microvascular blood capillaries that are 10 times smaller than a strand of hair. And those microvascular blood capillaries become constricted by the big bad monster of chronic low-level inflammation. The monster of neuropathy is low-level inflammation, destroying our bodies and burning us down from the inside out as if we were a house on fire. The microvascular blood capillaries, they deliver all the good, the nutrients, the oxygen, the antioxidants, and the red blood cells to the sensory nerve fibers that are living, breathing in our feet, legs, hands, and arms. And when they become vasoconstricted, those nerve fibers cannot survive because, after all, blood flow is the river of life. And so what happened was your nerve fibers die, and then they can't function, and you lose functional impairments, walking, dancing, running, jumping, riding your motorcycle, driving your car, you get numbness. You can't tell pain from numb. You can't tell hot from cold. You can't tell sharp from dull. And it becomes a rapid descent into a special kind of hell, if I'm allowed to say that.
I am just, as you were speaking, I'm just imagining the depth and the weight, you know, of the shock you felt, because you are this very super active person, you know, athletic, alive, and then this is happening. I can only imagine what conversation was going on in your head at the time. And, you know, some of it kind of shows themselves in the way that it started up, when you were like, you know what, I don't even want to talk to anybody. I don't want to go out. And what was that thing that switched on and said, no, we are not giving up. We're putting in a fight.
Well, it was, I think, a couple of things, but most of all, I got sick and tired of being sick. I just got sick and tired of being sick. And then I realized something.
Hold that thought. I love that. And I just want to point out a teachable moment here. Yes, we're talking about health-related issue here. But I think this is teachable because it can be applied to any other situation in your life. So if you're watching this, regardless of what you're going through, whether it is poverty, whether it is relationship, you know, related, whether it is job, whatever area, spirituality, it's like, until you get tired of your current situation, you might not be motivated or inspired enough to make a move to change it. So sometimes it's not about, oh, whether the solution is there or not. Even when the solution is not there, if you accept it, that will be your reality. But if you are tired of being there or being in that situation, then you can go ahead and say, we need a solution for this. And you probably find it. Because, I mean, Keith here is a proof that when you go looking for solution, you just might find it. Yes, please. Go ahead.
And when I became sick and tired of being sick, I immediately thought that I needed to take an action. You know, you could think about things and have concepts and ideas all you want. In fact, you can have the greatest idea in the world. I could have thought of Tesla, but if I thought of Tesla, but I didn't do anything about it, there would be no Tesla, right? So, I mean, Elon Musk thought of Tesla, and so then he took an action and he created it. So when I realized I was sick and tired of being sick, I had to force myself to get up and move. I said to myself, Keith, there's a catch with this disease, and you're the catch. You're the one who's giving up. I'm the one who's surrendering, and I am the only one who can fight for me. My wife loves me dearly. My children love me dearly, but they couldn't fight for me. And no doctor gave a hoot nor a holler enough to want to fight for me. They just wanted to write me a prescription. So came the realization that I had to fight for me because no one else was going to do it. And in order to start fighting, I had to take an action. And the first action I had to take was to get my mind right. That I could do this, that I could walk through the pain, and that I could find someone to help me, someone out there that I could not be the only one suffering this. And then I took a leap of faith, and I leaped into what I thought was kind of a small type of hole of people like me. Oh no. There were masses, there were multitude, there were millions of people like me. Millions like me. They just didn't know what to do like I didn't know what to do. So they took all these doctor's orders. They took all this gabapentin, and it just kept getting worse. You know what I call that? You know what I call it when doctors want to treat patients with pharmaceuticals? I call it sick care. Because pharmaceuticals don't treat pills. No. Sick care, because pills don't treat the cause. They treat the symptom. And if you're going to treat neuropathy, you must treat the cause. Cause, treating the cause is healthcare. Pharmaceuticals is sick care, because the pill you take has a side effect. And so you have to take another pill eventually to treat the side effect of the pill you're taking to treat the symptom. Then you got to take another pill to treat the side effect. And you're in this vicious circle of sick care, and you're getting sicker. So what I learned was healthcare. And what I found out was to feel better as a neuropathy patient, I had to do two things. Number one, I had to find a way to increase my blood flow. The key was something called nitric oxide, the miracle molecule discovered in 1997. The second thing was I had to decrease the chronic low-level inflammation in my body. Now, there's many ways to do that. Combination, nutritional aspect. I never say dieting. People don't want to diet. I never say dieting. Nutritional aspect, but also pills cause inflammation. We eat it, we drink it, we breathe inflammation every day in our food, in our alcohol, or other things that people may drink. All these things have to change. And we have to repair the sensory nerve fibers, which, by the way, they're the only nerve fibers in our body we can repair. Can repair sensory nerve fibers. So how do you repair them? Increase the blood. Wash away the inflammation. And movement. Movement. Movement is key. When someone surrenders to the neuropathy and becomes sedentary, I own a domain called sedentarykills.com. We weren't put on this earth to be sedentary. We were put on this earth to be hunters and gatherers and farmers and other things. So this is the key, was being sick and tired of being sick, taking an action, and following through. Following through was so important. I had to lengthen my stride. I don't mean physical stride. My mental stride. I had to develop the mental toughness and strength to battle through this, because the unspoken evil of neuropathy is depression. Doctors don't talk to neuropathy patients. They don't say, Keith, are you depressed? Or Johnny Jones, are you depressed? Or Janet, are you depressed? They don't ask that question. And the truth is, we are. Why wouldn't we be? We went from hiking on the mountains and playing golf and walking our dog and nest with our wives to falling down and hurting ourselves, to can't sleep because the pain is so bad, to not be able to stand in line at Disney World, at Disneyland, because it hurts too bad. See, we don't even go anymore. See, depression is the evil unspoken symptom of neuropathy, and you got to work on your mind. You got to be determined. You got to have self-talk. I can do this. I know it's going to hurt, but only for a little bit. I can get up, put one foot in front of the other. I'm telling you, I had to go back to the basics like a toddler, like a two-year-old, three-year-old, four-year-old. I had to go back to the basics of learning things over again. The greatest journey I've ever been on. Hard, yes. I wanted to give up a lot of times, but I had to keep going. And then as I met people like me and I started sharing my story, then I was seeing I could help them because they were borrowing some of my spirit. They didn't have enough spirit to fight, so they borrowed some of mine and I didn't even charge them interest, you know? And then I fed off their good reports. I fed off of their improvements. I fell off their love for what I was showing them. And that's kind of how it all came together. And I still use all that today. And I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to quit doing this. The only way I'll quit doing this is if I don't have a tomorrow. That's all. This is not a job to me. This is a crusade. This is a mission.
Such a fantastic journey you've been on. And I dare say it's a worthy one. And of course, yes, it's a lifelong one. And I mean, this just tells a lot about, you know, that initial movement, that initial step. Like, you know, the neuropathy itself is something that it's almost like you were going against the tide to overcome it. And it's just beautiful. It's lovely how, you know, your fighting spirit, but it all begins from your mind. So let's get a little bit of, you know, insight into, beyond the medication, right? What are some of the, I know you've mentioned movement. You've mentioned movement as part of, you know, the approach to neuropathy. Are there any other one to managing it? And I'm asking this because, I mean, I don't know much because I'm not really in the health space, but I just want to imagine, because there are there are this is mental related, like ADHD, for example. It is something that is common, even with kids, even with adults, right? And from the part of the world that I'm from, these things were not, like, it's diagnosing these things are not even, like, on the table. So children grow up just being accused of being dullards or of being stubborn or of being restless, you know? And all we got was just trying to shut them down. Why are you so restless? Why are you jumping up or down? What is wrong with you? Why don't you hear what, you know? All along, unknown to these parents, that this is a condition that needs special attention, that these kids actually are supposed to learn in a certain way. And if they're supported correctly, they can blossom. But what these kids get is just shut down. And it's just affected into adulthood. Now, I'm saying this to say, I am sure that there are a couple of people from my part of the world, you know, who might be going through these things. And for all they know, it could have been accrued to, oh, maybe it's a spiritual problem, or, oh, this is paralysis. You know, they're not even sure of what it is because diagnosis is not even a part of what is on the table for them. So because of that, could you speak to some of the ways to manage them? Maybe kind of elaborate a little bit more on the symptoms and what are some ways that they can be managed so that anyone listening or who knows somebody who sounds like, oh, this symptom is what this person is going through, maybe they could just say, you know what, watch this video, take this action and see if your condition, you know, improves.
Absolutely. So symptoms, they usually will start in one limb or the other, like one foot or the other foot or one hand and the other foot. Only chemotherapy-induced neuropathy will cause the neuropathy to explode in both hands and feet simultaneously. Chemotherapy neuropathy is by far the worst, most aggressive neuropathy. But let's talk about in general terms. So once it starts in one foot, like mine did, it started with feeling like I had a rock in my shoe. And when I was walking, and I sat down one time at a gas station, I was filling up gas, and I sat down in my car, and I had the driver's door open, and I took my shoe off, my left foot, and I started pounding my left shoe on the driver's door looking for the rock, and there was no rock. And that feeling didn't go away. And then within 3 months, I had the same feeling in both feet. So can you imagine feeling like you're walking on a rock in both shoes, but there was no rock? So feeling like a rock in your shoes, like you have your feet bandaged up super, super tight, feeling sharp shooting pains that come and go quickly like lightning. Feeling an achiness that just, this hurts so bad, dull ache, but it just gets worse and worse, like almost to the beating of your heart. Freezing pain, which is terrible. Burning pain. You can have freezing and burning simultaneously. One of the worst symptoms is what's called sheet feet. It's where your feet are so hypersensitive from the neuropathy, you cannot have covers on your bare feet when you sleep. The covers hurt your feet. It is awful. Neuropathy itch, where you just itch so bad, you keep scratching, but it won't go away. Cramping in your calves, in the arches of your feet, and in your toes. Your toes will cramp like this. They're called frozen toes. You lose flexibility in your toes and your hands. You lose muscle strength. You get edema or swelling around your ankle and feet, and the swelling causes more pain. You lose your balance. I remember the first time I realized my balance was having trouble. I was in the shower and I had my eyes closed and I was shampooing my hair. And all of a sudden I thought I was going to fall. I had to open my eyes real quick so I didn't fall and biff it. And falling is really very dangerous because it only takes one fall to hit your head. Just general achiness. And then losing the ability to walk barefooted. Can't walk barefooted hardly at all with it. And then the symptoms graduate to a part where they start to steal your functions, like opening a jar of pickles or a jar of olives or using a knife and a fork or snapping your fingers. If you have it in your hands real bad, you can't do this. Button your shirt, button your bra, button your pants, tie your shoes, pick up coins from the table. You can't walk your dog. You can't dance. You can't do yard work. You can't do housework. It's just terrible. And then when you have numbness, it's the number one worst symptom of neuropathy's numbness, because it will steal your quality of life so quickly. And there's so many people that they drive by listening or watching the RPMs on their car because they can't feel the difference between the brake of a gas pedal. And it's very dangerous. So those are a lot of the symptoms that come from it. And how to increase the blood flow is to use things like to drink, for first of all, from a standpoint of medical foods, beets, drink beet juice, eat beets, watermelon, things you can Google, anti-inflammatory nutritional food. They help a lot. Very important. And you want to stay away from mashed potatoes, potatoes of all kinds, corn. You want to stay away from pastas and pizza. You want to stay away from gluten, sugar. Sugar in our drinks, sugar in our candies. Sugar is like white lightning to neuropathy. Or it's like pouring gasoline on a bunch of wood and letting it on fire. These kind of things die terribly. Now, from a standpoint of treatment, things like alpha-lipoic acid, very important. You can get it in pill form. It's natural. Our bodies need alpha-lipoic acid to help the nerve become healthy. B12, B4, B6, B9, B12, all very important, as by vitamin E and vitamin D. We are a vitamin D deficient society because we're afraid of skin cancer. But our nerves need vitamin D. Also, what's very important is red light therapies. Red light therapies or bilirubin light therapies that they treat infants with jaundice, yellow jaundice, when an infant has jaundice. These lights penetrate the epidermis of the skin. They penetrate 6 inches to the nerve fiber and to the blood vessels. And where these red lights go, blood will flow. And it helps create something called angiogenesis. Well, what is that? Angiogenesis is the creation of microvascular blood capillaries. You and I create them every day. You're very healthy and you create them way faster than I do. As I create them as a neuropathy patient, my chronic low-level inflammation destroys them. So we have to create them in abundance to withstand the attack of the inflammation. When we use the red lights, we increase nitric oxide. It is the miracle molecule and the greatest hemodilator in our bodies. We make it. We need to make more of it. That's why beet juice, watermelons, and those foods help us. But you can also take a supplement to increase your nitric oxide. Now, what's important about increasing your blood flow? There's two parts to increasing blood flow. Number one, it delivers all the good. The red cell, the oxygen, the antioxidants, and the nutrients. We all know that. But very few people consider part two, the rest of the story, which is it washes away. Blood flow washes away disease, free radicals, and waste that causes chronic low-level inflammation. So by increasing your blood flow, your body is naturally reducing the inflammation in your body and you get healthier. Now listen, I don't want to give anybody false hope here. There's no cure for neuropathy. I don't care what Facebook says. I don't care what the internet says. You can't buy a pair of socks and put them on and cure your neuropathy. You can't take some gummies and cure your neuropathy. That's all misleading. It's all hocus pocus. It's all a money grab. The truth is, there's no cure for it. However, like me, people can put it in remission. But they need to be persistent. They need to be consistent. They need to have a plan, a treatment plan, movement plan, everything of the kind. And by doing all those things, and of course, I'm only generalizing. There's much more specifics on what stage they're in and how bad they are. But all those things can definitely make a humongous difference and help them. There's also pain creams. There's a pain cream called Crush Pain Now that reduces inflammation, takes away neuropathic pain quickly. So hopefully those things have helped you.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, this is good information. And I think, you know, anyone listening, even if, you know, they don't immediately have that healthcare, for it, they at least know what to do from this point on to know, okay, I love how you really detailed the explanation. And thank you for also putting it out to say there is no cure for this, so you can only manage it. And it's a consistent work, and you have to be a fighter. So it begins from the mind to start to say, okay, we're doing this. I am fighting for this. I'm not going to lose my mobility to this. I'm not going to lose at least 100% of the things that I love, right? So since you've been on this journey, what has changed for you, like health-wise? Have you been able to do some things that you couldn't do before, or you've had to give up those things and just, you know, at least have some level of mobility? Or what's the difference for you?
First of all, I lost my ability to play golf. I'm an avid golfer. Lost my ability to play golf. I lost my ability to dance with my wife. This is a second marriage for both of us. And I fell instantly in love with my wife, but she wasn't falling in love with me. She was looking at all this, and she just wasn't feeling any of that love. So I found out she liked to dance, and my grandma's taught me how to dance since I was a little bitty kid. So I schemed, and I took her to a place for food that had a band, and I asked her to dance with me. We went out there, and we danced the cha-cha, and we danced the Eastern Coast Swing and the West Coast Swing and all these kind of things. And that was it. She was in love. Because all my wife wanted was someone to dance with her. That's all. Right? And then I got sick. Lost my ability to dance with my wife. So what's my message? Neuropathy does not just affect the person who's sick. Neuropathy affects everybody who loves that person. And that's one message I want people who have neuropathy to understand, is that the other people who love them, they're affected too by the way this disease is ravaging and destroying their body. The other thing I want to say to them is that if they do not do anything about this disease and let it continue, it will destroy their quality of life, and it will eliminate their independence. That's for sure. Now, what have I gotten to do better? Well, I can play golf again. I can walk 5 miles a day. Thank you. I can walk 5 miles a day with no pain. I sleep like I used to sleep. Very, very seldom. Do I still get an occasional flare-up of symptoms? Yes, I do. However, I know what to do now, and I manage it with maintenance techniques that I teach. I manage it quickly with those maintenance techniques, and they work. And so I have probably 60, 65% of my life back that I had before I got sick. But you know what? I'll be 64 soon. And I'm just so thankful that, thank you. I'm just so thankful that I'm not in a wheelchair. I'm so thankful that I have my spirit back. I'm so thankful that I get to talk with people like yourself to spread the word. And I get to see people that were seriously sick who have improved slowly. The truth of the matter is, if people will listen to what I tell them, they'll let me preach to them, teach them, crusade for them, help them, motivate them, inspire them. If they'll let me do these things and they'll take an action for themselves, that they're willing to fight for themselves, the truth is, everybody gets some amount of improvement. Now, how much? I can't say. That depends on the individual's determination and discipline. That's what it depends on. So I hope I answered that question.
You did perfectly well. I can't stop smiling. I'm happy about that. And you are living proof that this works. There is a way outside of the pills, and you can do this. You just need to put your mind in. And I love what you said when you said it doesn't only affect the person who is ill. It affects everything around you. So that should give you a fighting chance. Like, if you really care about those who are around you, and if you really want them to support you on that journey, you have to fight. You have to do the things that you need to do to overcome this. Now you have proof that you can overcome it, that it is not the end of you, right? So now all you need to do is put in the work. And I really, really love that. Right. So again, I think we've mentioned this, but just for emphasis sake, because I know some people, when they listen, Not everybody are good at reading between the lines. So some people want points like, okay, 1, 2, 3, just like you said. First of all, run away from sugar. Number two, chemotherapy does no good at all, right? So for listeners experiencing neuropathy, they're watching this from any part of the world, right, or listening to it, what are 2-3 practical tips you would recommend to get started with these alternative solutions? If they are to start, where should they start from?
Number one is... recognize you have a chronic disease and treat it as such, and don't underestimate it. Number two, work on your mental health. To stretch your mind, to stretch your mental strength, it is the strongest muscle we have. It's stronger than any physical muscle we have, is your mental strength. You've got to build it. Number three, put a plan together. And be willing to understand the plan is a livable plan. Here's what I mean by that. Your plan that you put together in the beginning will not look like the same plan a year from now, because you're doing different things. You've improved and other things. So you have to have a living plan that changes with you as you get better and as you make progress in this. You can't have something that's just, rigid and in concrete. No, it's got to be fluid and living and adjustable. The next thing is, read things that inspire you. 5 to 10 minutes a day, read something that inspires you. I don't care what it is, but read something that inspires you and tell yourself. Number five is have self-talk. Tell yourself, I can do this. Tell yourself, I'm going to beat this disease. Tell yourself, I want to see my grandchildren play sports. I want to go to their parties. I want to build memories with my grandchildren. I want to dance with my wife again. I still am trying to get to where I can dance with my wife again. And it's been years, but I'm not going to give up because I want to dance with my wife again. And the sixth thing is that make sure you're doing what you need to do to lower the inflammation from the outside of your body. What I mean specifically is learn about nutritional aspects. I'm not preaching a diet. Come on, folks. I know diet is always lesser and people don't want to have diets. They're not fun. But you can do nutritional things that make a big difference. Research them, learn about them, and practice them. And then it's also important to sit down with your family or your loved ones and say, this is my fight. This is my journey. I need you to go on this journey with me. I need your support. For example, alcohol is terrible for neuropathy patients. It makes it all worse really quick, and it lasts a long time. So if you have a family around you that likes to drink and you can't drink anymore, ask them not to bring alcohol into your home. Ask them not to bring it around you. Don't tempt you. Support you. Understand how bad this is. The next thing is to find people that practice healthcare. Do not go see a physician, a provider, a doctor who wants to give you pills. That's the warning sign. That's the red flag. That's the stop. Danger, danger, danger. Let me give you a pill. Let me give you a pill. No. If that's all they want to do and they don't know what else to do, fire them. It's okay. It's your body. Don't turn your body over to them to control. Fire them. Go find someone who does healthcare, someone who treats the cause, increases your blood flow. There's lots of providers out there. Do you realize that there's 40 million neuropathy sufferers in the United States? 40 million? Do you know worldwide it's over 400 million? Worldwide, 400 million. So something's got to be done. That would be my step for step. I gave 10 of them. Now, there's more things to do, and they can break down into step one and then ABC, step two, ABC, but hopefully that helps.
Absolutely, that helps a lot. Thank you so much. Whoa. No, I am so glad about your resolve to do this and to do it wholeheartedly, because we can see it speak through, and it just tells, in the way that you've gone in depth into what this is, how to deal with it, and now crusading about it, telling people about it and saving lives, because that is exactly what you are doing. And I commend you and I say thank you. Thank you for spreading the word. And it's such a privilege to be one of those, hopefully, thousands of channels that will spread this word all around the world so that more people can be aware and not just have the knowledge, but practical steps. Because, if anybody sits down with this, and they have any of the symptoms, and they listen properly to what you've shared today, they should have at least five things that they can do differently to make a difference in their lives and in their health. Thank you so much, Keith. It's just been so wonderful, you know, listening to you, exchanging, you know, insights with you. Thank you so much for sharing valuable insights today. This has been incredibly informative for me, and I believe for my audience as well. So guys, for anyone who is interested in learning more about Keith and the work he does, you can follow him or connect with him on LinkedIn. Keith Day, okay? Keith Day. I'm going to attach the link to his LinkedIn page here. And very soon, he has his website coming up soon. By the time this video is live, our website will be live, all right? So you can check out all the work that he's doing on that website. And please, if there is any opportunity for you to support the work that he's doing, you just heard him say 40 million people are going through this in the U.S. alone, and then 400 million across the world. Definitely, this word needs to go out more, and it's going to need your support to help him push this word out. So for one, you are already watching this podcast, right? Or you're listening to this podcast wherever you are. Please share this. Share this with somebody. Somebody out there needs to listen to this. Somebody out there, and especially for you, my brothers and sisters in Africa, remember, some of us don't have the same healthcare, you know, institutions that would even diagnose this or that cares enough to even, you know, go into deep insight. So this information are being here so that you at least have an idea and you can take action, you know. And if you can afford, you know, treatment and all of that, good for you. But I'm sure that there are some people who cannot. And this information that has been shared today can really, really help you or help somebody you know. So please don't keep this podcast episode to yourself. Share it with as many people as you can. If not you, somebody you know could know somebody, all right? And let's spread the word like that. That's the one way that we can support this crusade that Keith Day has put on himself after going through the pain himself. So you can know that it is coming from a place of passion and experience. And this is quite important. So let's save more lives together by sharing this, all right? And please connect with Keith, learn about the work he's doing. Ask him, how can I help? How can I support you? If you are another podcaster watching this or listening to this right now, invite him on your show so that we can all together spread the word to more people. Thank you again, Keith, for being here today. It's been a pleasure getting to know you through this conversation. And hopefully I could also be a part of the work that you're doing at some point in the future. God bless you. And till I come your way again next week with another conversation, remember, life is a stretch, okay? And challenges are not exclusive to any of us. We all go through them. But when we assume the posture of learning, what is this challenge here to teach me? Then we begin to distill those life lessons. And then, you know, we begin to add value. I mean, this whole experience to Keith has really taught him the importance of family, the, you know, the importance of health and, you know, knowledge as well. Because, I mean, if he had sniggered at the people in the healthcare in his family, like, oh no, let me just take the pill. This pain is too much. I'm just going to go. Well, we don't know that he will be here today sharing this story, but this experience has taught him a lot. I think before I go, I'm going to say this. If you were to share one major lesson from your experiences in this regard, what would that lesson be as we wrap up the session?
Well, when I first became sick and in the worst parts of this disease, I was growing hopeless. I began to think that the only light at the end of the tunnel was a freight train. And I would like to share with people that I know differently now. It's not that I hope differently. I know differently. That the light at the end of the tunnel is hope, and it is reality, and it is an improved life, and it is being able to get control of the quality of your life and your independence, because I don't think anyone likes to feel like they don't have control of their life. And that light is something that I drew energy from as I began to realize the combination and the power of faith and hope really, they have to understand that faith and hope are dead without work. You must work your faith to achieve the end results. You must work your hope. And so I'm not special. I'm not the only person who can do this. I'm not the only person who will do this. I'm just a messenger. I believe I got sick and was given the abilities to help overcome this and get into remission so I could preach and teach this to anyone who would listen to me. And that's my crusade. And thank you so much, so much, for allowing me to be on your podcast and share my story. And I wish you nothing but everything good, great, and glorious.
Thank you so much. That was really heartfelt. Thank you so much. And thank you for yielding the call, because, I mean, if you threw in the towel too early, we wouldn't be here today. So thank you as well for yielding the call and for carrying on the cross and the crusade and the light, the torch, whatever it is, the banner, the placard, to say, hey, guys, I got news for you. Listen. Thank you so much. And for leveraging technology to do this as well, to spread the word beyond your borders, which is really, really impressive and inspiring as well. Thank you so much. All right, guys, I could go on talking with Keith. I just feel like, oh my God, I love his energy. And, you know, like, oh my God, I'm inspired. But we have to close the session now. Until I come here again next week, remain amazing. You have what it takes. Just tap into it from your inside out. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.